is here, even though we've been gone for about 3 weeks now. But this is Rob T.
I'm Fanboy Dave.
And you're listening to the Brothers of Discussion. And we are very excited to be here with you.
I've been trying to be here for the last 3 weeks, but Rob T, I guess, has other things to do. And so I should have done the podcast by myself.
Would you tell us how you really feel?
I am. But see, being Fanboy Dave, I'm always here to work. Rob T's like AEW. I don't know what he's doing. He's just whatever he wants to do. Creative control, I would guess.
Yeah, whatever. So, yeah, so we've been gone, and then we're actually going to be scaling back our content just a little bit. And, yeah, I'll take the brunt of the blame for it. Basically, what's going on is Wednesday nights are not going to be available for me anymore for recording because I am actually going to a Bible study because I need Jesus.
He does need Jesus, folks. He does.
So I started going to these Bible studies again, and they meet on Wednesdays. And to be quite honest, my spiritual health is more important than any podcast. So
I would agree with that because, again, there's nothing on Wednesday nights. So I guess you could be going to these Bible studies.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, but we are glad to be back, and we are glad to be back here talking what we love, and that is professional wrestling, or what I love. Of course, Fanboy Dave loves WWE. So,
sports entertainment.
So, but we are here to talk about it. And as of the time that we're recording this, it is a Tuesday, and Extreme Rules was just 2 days ago.
And you want me to miss NXT 2.0. That's why you want it on Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly right. You got a DVR, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's it. So we're going to talk Extreme Rules. And we're just going to dive right into it and just kind of give our feedback and stuff on things we like. So why don't we start this way first, since you are the fanboy of WWE. I want to hear your overall thoughtful opinion of the whole show. And don't just give me no crap about it. It was good. No, I want to hear some substance in that. So
it was a great show.
Okay. So give me a little more than that, though.
Well,
come on.
I'm going to. If you stop talking, you always try to take over the show. I mean, it was a great show. I mean, you had the pre-show with Carmella and Liv Morgan, which was a pretty decent match. And I'm thinking that Liv is just getting better and better each week. And she's coming into her own with her character and, you know, the thorn in her side of Carmella, the most beautiful woman in all of WWE, got beat by Liv Morgan, which was great for her. And I think with the draft coming up, that just makes her stock even more valuable and being like, well, we need to watch out for Liv. Was she going to stay on SmackDown? Is she going to Raw? I mean, it's just going to be one of those things. So,
was that the only match that they had on the pre-show?
I believe so.
Okay, so it was just one match. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. I didn't get to see the pre-show. I was cooking dinner, so. Yeah.
You're a good cook?
I'm a great cook. Ooh. You know that I'm a great cook, so
don't even.
You come all every year for my menudo, so don't even. All right, cool. So I think overall, in my opinion, and you know, me the pro wrestling fan, WWE did a great job on this pay-per-view. I actually really did enjoy it. I did. I thought there was a lot of action, a lot of good action, a lot of great storytelling, which was really surprising to me. Not that WWE is not capable of telling good stories. It's just their history for the past few months hasn't been that good when it comes to the whole storytelling thing. But I think they did a great job this go around.
They did a phenomenal job. I mean, because people are worried, like only six matches, and then you get a promptu match with the New Day against AJ Styles, Omos, and the almighty Bobby Lashley. Just kick off the show.
Yeah.
What a match.
And it was. Well, I mean, since you're going ahead and already starting with matches and stuff, let's go ahead and
that was the first match.
Yeah, let's get to it. Let's start with that first match. So the first match we saw the New Day versus Bobby Lashley and AJ Styles and Omos.
This is my house, Omos.
Yes. And you're right. That match was really, really good. I mean, it was just hard hitting. It really looked to me like these guys weren't pulling any punches at all. I mean, the action was phenomenal. No pun intended. Overall, a very exciting match. And I got to be honest, going into the pay-per-view, seeing that this was the first match, I did think it was going to be a throwaway. You know what I mean? But they came in hot and heavy with this match. I thought Big E did a great job being represented as the WWE champ. He looks like championship material. He's definitely, like, how can I say, when you put him and Bobby Lashley together, of course, Bobby Lashley looks phenomenal. I mean, he's the almighty. Yeah, he's the almighty. And he definitely carries that moniker well. But with Big E, Big E looks like he can stand in the ring with him and he can hold his own. And we know he can.
Two big bulls.
Exactly, exactly. So it was a great match. I got nothing but praise for that match. I thought it was amazing. I thought it was great. It was awesome all around. I'm trying to think. I think the high points for me were just how they continued with the story, and it continued on Monday Night Raw, but the mic skills that Bobby Lashley has been developing over the past few months. I mean, he can talk some mess, and he definitely talks some mess to Big E, and Big E, of course, later on in the show, responded in kind. I thought that was a really, really great storytelling for sure.
Well, yeah, Bobby said he was chicken stuff, you know.
Yeah, he did. He'd owe you back to PG.
Hey, PG.
Not like last time.
Say, I was like, Bobby looked mad. That vein was popping out. I was like, God dang, he wants to kill Big E.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, that was definitely a great match. I had nothing but great things to say about it. So, the next match we had right after that was a tag match. And it saw the champions, the SmackDown Tag Team Champions of the Usos versus the Street Profits. How'd you like that match?
I mean, I thought it was good. I mean, we hadn't seen the Street Profits in a tag match in a good while, so just seeing how they would gel again since it's been a minute or so since Montez was doing a little single action, you know, previous week fighting the tribal chief Roman Reigns, and so.
How do you think he did as far as selling the injury from what happened on Friday?
Yeah, I mean, he sold it all right. You know, it was good, but. I mean, I knew the Usos were going to win just because, I mean, with the storyline going, I mean, you can't have them lose.
It made the most sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with you on that one. I thought that they did a great job. A lot of high-flying action. I mean, it was just from bell to bell, just action, action, just very fast-paced. Again, great storytelling with this match. I definitely enjoyed this match as well. I thought it was well thought out. The pacing was good. Again, the action was great. The selling was great. I thought Montez Ford did a great job of selling the ribs. I mean, definitely making you believe that he was hurt, and that's great storytelling right there. So, yes, definitely. And, of course, Usos still your champs. The next match, we had Alexa Bliss versus Charlotte Flair.
The opportunity.
Yeah, and
the greatest wrestler. I was talking Shotgun. I put her the greatest wrestler. I mean, you talk about this guy, Kenny Omega, saying he's the best. I'd probably say Charlotte's probably the best wrestler in the world, male or female. The best.
She's definitely up there. I'll give her that.
I think she would beat Kenny Omega like that.
Yeah, well, that's your opinion. But to be fair, you haven't seen Kenny Omega in action.
It don't matter. Yeah, Charlotte so. Flair.
But let's talk about the match. Let's talk about that. How did you feel as a whole? I'm talking about everything in the match.
I think Charlotte did what she said she was going to do, because I don't know if you watched Monday Night Raw, because you might have been sleeping or whatever. But she said she wanted the old Alexa Bliss, and she was like, that's the one I wanted to fight. Like,
right.
Talking about, even how she said, let's talk about, you know, taking something that's not original. I mean, that was a shot. That was a shot.
The both of the promos they did were really, really good.
That was a shot of saying you take in Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So, but yeah, I think it went really well. I mean, you know, going back and forth, and you could see a little bit of 5 feet of fury, you know, when Alexa was putting her attack against Charlotte Flair. But I mean, it's just, I just knew the queen is just like, she's untouchable.
Right. Right. She's definitely the best. She's definitely the best. I will give you that. The match as a whole, I thought was great. I agree with you. That old Alexa Bliss came out. I saw, you could see where she was trying to kind of keep to the gimmick when she started to kind of do that little crawl thing she does. But you notice she didn't do it full on. She kind of stopped herself. But the match as a whole, it was great to see the old moves that Alexa does. But I don't know. In my opinion, they didn't need to bring the doll into it at all.
Well,
I know it's part of the story.
Charlotte Flair says she wants the old Alexa Bliss. What you got to do?
Yeah, yeah. I get that. I just think the match was great. It just didn't need that whole doll thing. And to me, what let me put it this way. To me, the match would have been an A-plus match if it weren't for the ending. The ending made it go from an A-plus to an A, in my opinion. There was a big botch with Alexa. And, I mean, you had to be blind not to see it. Everybody could see the Alka-Seltzer tab in her mouth when she screamed. She was trying to get that whole foaming at the mouth, you know, effect going. Didn't do it right. So that was pretty bad. That was pretty bad. And I think that did kind of, you know, like they say, you always remember the last thing. And unfortunately, that was the last thing in that match. And it just, it sucked. And the match didn't suck. Don't get me wrong. The match didn't suck. But that part of it did suck.
My favorite part at the end was she was on the title on Lily's head. Charlotte took her out.
Yeah, that was
Lily's
that was
good. No more.
That was good. So do you think that this was a way for them to maybe write Alexa off for a while?
Yeah. There's news that she's going to be off TV for a good while.
Okay. Okay. So
when she comes back, she'll come back probably to Little Miss Bliss. Because, I mean, if Bray Wyatt's truly not coming back, there's no need to
keep
the gimmick.
And keep on with the gimmick. Yeah, that's true. And especially because it's really not working anymore.
No.
It really isn't. And you can even tell they've scaled back on the quote-unquote supernatural stuff that they used to have going on whenever she was around with the lights flickering and all that other stuff. So, yeah, I think you're right. And I did hear the same thing, that she's going to be gone for a few months. And they said months, so it'll probably be a good
look. I know she got engaged, so maybe she's getting married.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, that's cool. That's cool. So, overall, great match, bad ending. And that, to me, is just
unfortunate. Is it ever bad when the queen wins?
Well, I mean, depends. I mean, for you, probably not, because I know how much of a mark you are for her.
She's the greatest.
Yeah. So then after that, we had the match with Jeff Hardy, Damian Priest, and Sheamus for the United States Championship. Before I say what I want to say, let me hear your take on the match.
I mean, I adding Jeff to it, I think, was amazing. Because, I mean, Sheamus and Damian Priest have had some good matches, but put a third person in and being like, okay, who's going to win? I mean, I still pick Damian Priest to win. But, I mean, his stock is just getting a lot better. I think the way they've brought him up and from NXT now, I mean, that's how you get a performer to be over. Not just put him in there and then have him challenge, like, you know, put your growing pains and then, you know, finally getting that title win and getting the fan support behind him. I mean, I thought it was an excellent match. And there was some parts there where I was like, damn, Jeff Hardy might win this match.
Yeah, yeah. And that was why I wanted to hear your take on it first, because I was really blown away, because unfortunately what WWE has done, and we don't know what goes on behind the scenes, right? It could be something that Jeff Hardy's asked for. We don't know. But just from the perspective of the fan looking, it's like WWE has kind of put Jeff Hardy on the back burner. I think one week they even had him going for the 24/7 championship, if I'm not mistaken. So it's almost like he was, like, demoted to jobber status, right? And then to bring him into the match, when I first started watching it, I didn't expect there to be any kind of strong offense on the part of Jeff Hardy. Not that he couldn't do it, right? Because Jeff Hardy is the man. But it was just because he hasn't been that top guy for a long time. But then to see, I mean, he was being Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
Right? What he does best. But to see how that crowd wanted him to win.
Oh, yeah. They were booing the yay and boo when
yeah.
they find Damian Priest and punching.
Yeah. That really surprised me. And I got to be honest, man, for a split second there, just like you, I thought, holy crap, Jeff Hardy's going to be, he's going to win this thing, man. But no.
It just shows, I mean, just disabled, just like Jeff Hardy can still do a lot of things without having to hold the title.
Yeah, but I think he's still got at least one more run in him for a championship.
He may, but I think he likes what he's doing, you know, and then we can talk later on about the match he had on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, I think right now what he's doing is he's definitely giving the rub to a lot of the newer talent, which is exactly what happened in this match. You know, the fact that he was in there with Damian Priest. I mean, that's the total definition of the rub, you know, from the talent that's made a name for himself already all these years, Attitude Era and everything. He's the best. And then to be in the ring with him.
So a little different than your AEW where CM Punk is getting the win on Mr. RB. And then this one, Damian Priest is getting the win and still getting the rub.
Yeah, but see, you're looking at it wrong. It's not about the wins. The rub doesn't come from the wins. You know what I'm saying? It's got to make the other talent look good. Because let's put it into perspective. Let's say it was WWE, right? Let's just say it was. And CM Punk was coming in, who has already been a tenured performer. And you got a new guy like a Darby Allin. Again, let's just say this was...
But they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't put CM Punk.
I got you. Just follow me with this. You want to bring the guy that's coming in that hasn't been in the ring forever, right? And everybody's anxious to see back. It's almost like he can't lose, right? But at the same time, you got the top star of that particular company or one of the top stars who's been making one hell of an impact. So you got to find a way to have this guy lose but still make him look good. And I think AEW did an excellent job at that because he went toe-to-toe with CM Punk, took him to the limit, was a great match. He did all the signature high spots that he's known for, right? And that's the other thing about Darby Allin. It's not just his offense, but some of the stuff he does when he's taking the beatings, like when he's taking the hits. You didn't see the match, so you don't know what I'm talking about. But because he's small, there's a lot more stuff that the opponent's able to do with him, and it looks horrible, right? It looks like, oh, crap, that really hurts. CM Punk did that with him a lot, which brought a lot of drama to the match. So in that, losing in that manner to CM Punk definitely gave him the rub because he went toe-to-toe with CM Punk in the eye of the fan. But not only that, at the end, it wasn't just a blow-off, right? CM Punk shook his hand. Sting comes out. Again, who's been giving Darby Allin the rub this whole time. So it made Darby Allin a bigger star because I'm telling you, the weeks after that, he's come out. The pops for him have been even more huge than in the past. So the rub kind of works differently. Yeah, a lot of times it does have to do with winning over that legend or whatever, but sometimes it's not always the case. It's just holding your own.
I think the fans were happy when Jeff Hardy and Damian Priest like shook hands and
gave
the respect and like that.
For sure.
Because they beat him because that's how the rub should be.
The
up-and-coming star should get the win. And it was still clean because Jeff Hardy didn't lose because he pinned Sheamus, right? I think. Wait, I forgot.
No, I thought it was...
did he pin Jeff Hardy?
Yeah. Dang,
I'm getting old.
Yeah.
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 So, yeah, he pinned him, and he still, even then picked him up and said thanks. So,
yeah.
I think that's what the fans appreciate, even though that Jeff Hardy lost. They're like, it was still a good match.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I love how you just totally changed the subject off of AEW there.
Well, we're talking about Extreme Rules.
Yeah, I know. Well, you brought it up. All right. Yes, I agree with you on that one. Definitely a great match. Next match we had after that was Bianca Belair versus, of course, The Man, Becky Lynch.
Shotgun's favorite wrestler, The Man.
And let me hear your take, because I'll say my piece here in a second. But let me hear your take on that.
I thought it was a decent match, whatever. Had some decent spots. But, again, I guess the thing that I was upset about, because I was watching it with Shotgun, is, it's Extreme Rules, but it's a regular match. And then when she gets to the rope, you have to break the rope. And I'm like, this is Extreme Rules. That didn't happen in, I don't remember. Was it the first match? But it might have been. It was a match where he got to the rope and they couldn't break it because it's like Extreme Rules.
Right.
They didn't have Extreme Rules on that match, but not on this one, and the pay-per-view is Extreme Rules.
So I agree.
One thing I didn't like that, they had to let go of the thing. Because even Becky said it's like, this is Extreme Rules. Why do I have to let go?
Right.
Because it's one, I'm going to get disqualified? No, that's what the pay-per-view is called, Extreme Rules.
Right.
I didn't like that part of it. But, I think Becky did all right for technically being her first match because she did beat Bianca Belair in 26 seconds.
Yeah.
So, I thought it was okay. I didn't like that Sasha Banks came out.
Yeah, I was about to say, what about the ending?
Sasha Banks, she thinks she's the GOAT ever. I wasn't thrilled about that, but...
But overall, you thought the match was a good match.
Yeah, but then, like I said, I just said, because if it's Extreme Rules, Sasha Banks coming in, it's not a disqualification.
Right.
So, for WWE, for me, is it's like pay-per-view's Extreme Rules. All matches should be Extreme Rules. There's no disqualification.
Right, right. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case.
No, and that's the only thing I didn't like about it, that it was just like, seriously?
Yeah, yeah. So I watched the match, and I got it, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, I thought action-wise, the back and forth and everything, don't get me wrong, I thought Becky was good, but I got to be honest, I think from what I saw, it looked like Bianca Belair took her to school. Like, Bianca Belair had a lot of offense. She had a lot of reversals. Just a lot of, I mean, she was on her game, straight up. And I get it. You know, Becky hasn't been in the ring for a year and a half. You know, when she did come back, it was 25 seconds, you said, right? 26 seconds, you know. So, I mean, it wasn't like she did much. This was really her first match since she's been back. And there's definitely some ring rust there. She's definitely a lot smaller than she was before.
But the fans are still in there.
The fans love her. There's no doubt.
Becky and then the other 50% of the EST.
So yeah.
They were invested in the match.
Definitely, definitely. I just, from just looking at it again, just from the standpoint of the competition, Becky has some work to do to get back to where she was at, in my opinion. I think she did great, but I think Bianca Belair did a lot better. I didn't like the ending, but having said that, I didn't like the ending as a wrestling fan, meaning that that's storyline. I like the ending in the sense that they're telling a story, so now we got to see where it goes from here. But of course,
right now we're gonna go triple threat.
Right, right. But being that I'm going for the face in this particular story, of course I don't like the ending, right? Because you want the face to win the belt back, right? So, but overall, I thought it was decent. I thought it was a good match. I thought Bianca Belair was phenomenal. Becky Lynch, I just think she still got a lot of work to do to get back to where she was at, for sure, in my opinion. So, moving on. So, what do you think about Sasha being back, though?
She can go back wherever she came from.
So, you're not a Sasha fan?
No.
Have you ever been a Sasha fan?
No.
You've always been a Sasha hater?
Not a Sasha hater. Just, no, I mean, she's all right.
But yeah.
I really hate her laugh. Nah. Whatever.
Okay, let me ask you this. So the dislike to Sasha, is it a genuine dislike, or is it a dislike because she's the heel?
No, it's just you already know it's the same song and dance. Just like Corey Graves says.
That's true.
So that is true. Sasha Banks cares for herself, which is great. So it never matters because you already know eventually she's going to turn on whoever.
Right.
I mean, there's only one person that you should know that about, and that's the Viper, Randy Orton, but it's in his name. The Vipers.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so, but it's just like, you know, I mean, and she's okay.
Yeah.
Like I said, I mean, we talked in previous podcasts with Shotgun. For me, it's Charlotte, and then it's Becky, then it's Bailey, and then it's Sasha.
Right. That's Sasha's the one at the end.
Yeah.
For sure.
For me, and then, of course, I could hear Shotgun say, "You're crazy, Becky." You know,
yeah.
But, I mean, Sasha, I mean, yeah, she's okay.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine that said he was hoping that Sasha would have, like, sided with Becky, because he was kind of hoping for, like, a four horsewoman type thing, you know, but didn't turn out that way. So now, yeah, I see that coming too. Right away when I saw it, I was like, this is setting up for a triple threat for sure, for sure. In your opinion, do you think they're going to take the belt off of Becky anytime soon?
No.
You don't think so?
No. They'll probably wait till WrestleMania.
Wow, that's a long time. That's a long time. What do you foresee being the match of WrestleMania, though?
Probably.
Or is it too soon to tell?
No, I think it'll probably be. I mean, you could probably draw a storyline with Bianca, but it all depends on what happens on the draft.
That is true. So, the draft is going to play a big part.
I mean, the draft starts this Friday, which we will talk about in the next segment.
Yeah.
Whatever, but I mean, I don't know who's going where. I mean, I don't think they're going to be leaving SmackDown, but I don't know.
Right.
Because I'm sure people want to see Belair versus Flair.
That would be interesting. You're right about that. So, you're definitely right about that.
You could still keep Sasha on SmackDown and have her go against Becky.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
And that's the thing with Sasha and Becky, they'll put on a good match, but, you know, it's like we've seen it before. But whereas what you just said, Belair and Flair, that we haven't seen that. That would be one heck of a match for sure. But we'll talk about that in the next segment. Let's talk about the main event. There's a lot to talk about in this main event. First off, of course, for those of y'all that don't know, but if you didn't know, we living under a rock. The main event saw the tribal chief, the head of the table, Roman Reigns, the reigning, defending, undisputed Universal Champion versus...
Did you acknowledge him?
No, never. versus Finn Balor, or in this case, the demon, because he did let that demon persona come out. What'd you think of the headdress he was wearing?
Sorry?
It was. I got a little nervous. Did you notice when they were fighting outside, they got pretty close to it? I was like, oh crap, somebody's gonna get stuck with that. Great entrance, I thought. I thought it was really well done. I gotta give WWE the utmost credit on this one, though. With the whole augmented reality thing that they've been using over the past, it's been now a year and a half now since COVID started, right? They do some pretty phenomenal work with that augmented reality. I think it's really cool, especially with the demon with that little sun thing that's above. It really good stuff. The match overall I thought was really good. I thought it was a really good match. And I did like WWE getting creative, man. I liked that a lot. They thought out of the box. They went for it. They took a stab at it. The ending kind of left me scratching my head a little bit. What did you think? What did you think about it?
I liked the match. I thought it was kind of funny when Finn got his kendo stick, which was like three or four put together, and I was like, oh man. And then of course Roman Reigns, you know, taking it to the crowd. We want tables, and he's like,
yes,
jawing with them.
Yes.
Like, no, we're not having no tables tonight.
Yes.
I mean, I thought it was pretty good. You know, for the most part, then with the Usos, goddamn, I mean, because me and Shaka were playing DraftKings, and I got 7 out of 10. I think he got 9 out of 10. But anyways, regardless. So, you know, because DraftKings is partnered with WWE, so
right,
you watch pay-per-views, you play for free and try to win some money.
Yeah, yeah. So let me ask you this. During the match, because everybody seemed to know Roman Reigns is going to win.
Yeah, I mean,
no doubt.
I thought Brock Lesnar was going to come out. That's the one.
Yeah. Did you have any, even just a small amount of doubt that maybe he would lose?
No, because Crown Jewel's coming up, but... I mean, I give it to Roman, and I thought about it. I mean, some people are like, why is he wearing a mask? But then when he was in the crowd, I was like, well, you know, he does have a condition.
Yes.
Being cancer.
Yes.
So I think he was wearing that to keep him safe.
Yeah.
But I'm sure I was like, he's wearing a mask. If he gets punched, what's going to happen? And then he takes it off. But, you know, I was like, all right, Roman.
Yeah, that was interesting. But you're right. I mean, Roman did, you know.
And those tables, the way they broke, I was like, man.
Yeah.
I mean, they's like shattered.
Yeah, yeah. Roman did battle leukemia, so you know I get the whole mask thing, so I ain't gonna hate on him for that at all. But that ending, though,
because you go to hell.
But that ending, though.
Oh man, I didn't know what to laugh or whatever. But when the music came on and Phil Balor started
humping the floor,
I was like, "What is going on? Like, what is going on?"
Man? Yeah,
I was like, I get what he was like, he's getting energy or something.
Yeah, but
it was
you,
like,
you don't got to hump the floor, bro.
Finn Balor. But yeah, yeah. I did not like the ending. I'm like, what the hell? Like, the ring just imploded the rope, and I was just like, it looked like he almost hurt himself for real.
I thought he did.
I mean, that's just a dangerous spot.
Yeah, I actually thought it legitimately broke and like, he hurt his knee for a split second.
Or his thigh or something.
Yeah.
Like a hamstring, but I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, but then when he got up, I was like, wait a minute. No, come on, man. And sure enough, it ended up being part of the storyline. I didn't like the ending at all. I understand why they did it, especially after listening to my favorite podcast again, Busted Open. They kind of talked about it a little bit. They were looking for a way to protect the demon, right? Which I get. I get that. I just think it could have been done a different way, a better way. Like, you know, Bully Ray was saying maybe if Roman would have been like hitting the chair against the rope or something, kind of give it a reason as to why it broke, an explanation instead of just divine intervention or something, you know? So that was a little weird for me. But the other thing that I guess is a little underwhelming for me is just like, because the next after this is Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. Crown Jewel.
So. You just leave the story, like the story just ends abruptly like that, and that's.
We don't know.
That's true. That's true. That's true. Plus, like you said, you got the draft too.
You know, so it ends if they if Finn Balor goes to Raw.
Right, right, right. Yeah, that's true. You got a good point there. And speaking of the draft, let's take a break, and then when we come back, we'll get into the draft, because I think that's gonna, like you said, shake things up for sure. And it's going to be interesting. So we'll be right back. We'll talk about the WWE draft that's going to be starting this coming Friday.
Oh, and I got a little nugget for you that you may love.
Ooh, well, we're going to save that for when we come back. All right, so keep it right here. We'll be back right after these messages from our sponsor. Fellas, I know how it is. Your hair and beard are looking rough, and you need to get it taken care of right away. The problem is, where do you go? Say no more, because I have the perfect place for you. At Hanley's Good Time and Barbershop, you'll get that fresh cut and trim by well-trained professionals who know just how to get what you want, a man's cut and a man's trim. Dallas and Juwan will hook you up with your tailor-to-you cut and beard trim, along with the straight razor shave and a relaxing hot towel treatment. These fellas will give you that old-school treatment where you sit back, relax, and unwind while you get back to looking like a gentleman should. When you walk in the door, talk to old Dow. And let him know that the Brothers of Discussion sent you, and he'll offer you a complimentary cold one or a shot of whiskey. Stop by 322 West Hopkins Street in San Marcos, Texas, or you can go online and make your appointment today at hanleysbarbershop.com. Hanley's Good Time and Barbershop, where good times and good vibes make for a great look. Segment, we just talked about the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. Overall, I give the pay-per-view an A grade. I thought it was a good pay-per-view. Minor stuff that, you know, like I was talking about right before we went to break with, like, the last match, just didn't quite sit well with me. But overall, I thought it was a great pay-per-view. It was very entertaining. Definitely great matches, a lot of good action. So it was good. It was good. What grade would you give it, Fanboy Dave?
Overall, about a B plus.
B plus? Wow, my grade's actually higher than yours. That's crazy. And you're the fanboy. Yeah. That's cool. That's honest, though. That's good. That's good. Now, this week,
just because no titles change hands.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
But I knew that going into watching this pay-per-view. I haven't told my buddy. I was like,
yeah. Isn't Extreme Rules kind of like not that big of a deal when it comes to the pay-per-views? You know what I mean?
I guess, but I mean, it's just, I guess, well, for me to give, like, I guess an A, it would have been had to be, like, I guess more carnage or be more extreme. But like I said, I mean,
yeah,
some of the matches were under normal wrestling rules versus extreme. Now, if the whole pay-per-view is extreme, I'd probably give it an A.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you're going to name a pay-per-view Extreme Rules, then the whole thing needs to be Extreme Rules. Yeah. I totally agree with that for sure. But
like I said, I still liked it, though, and I enjoyed it. But
yeah.
I mean,
yeah, awesome.
Fanboy Day, I love WWE, but hey.
Yeah.
B plus, and I'm sure they'll send me a thing since I'm on the WWE Council, and they send me things from time to time. I'll let them know.
Gotcha. All right, cool. And so we were just mentioning right before we went to break that this week, starting Friday, again, just a reminder, as we're recording this, it's on a Tuesday, so it'll be Friday coming up, which is October 1st, if I'm not mistaken. Or is it?
Yes.
Yeah, October 1st.
Because Venom comes out.
Yeah, so October 1st, this Friday, will be the first day of the WWE draft. They're going to shake things up. So the lineup you see right now that's on SmackDown and on Raw, it's not going to be the same anymore. And this includes announcers, doesn't it?
I mean, that's what they talked about.
So it's definitely going to be interesting. So you talked about having a nugget.
I do.
So tell us, what is this nugget that you have of information?
Your streak is over for AEW beating Monday Night Raw.
I didn't even realize they had beaten Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, they beat them, like, I think, for a week, 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
But it's over.
Well, that's news to me, because I didn't even know they had beaten them.
Yeah, on the demographic.
Gotcha. So why are you saying it's over?
Because it's over. We beat them.
Oh, this streak this is past, over. This the past, streak I got over. You. To be fair, though,
streak is over.
But to be fair, come on. To be fair, it's not a real fair competition. They're not on the same nights.
I'm just saying, it doesn't matter. But that's what I'm saying. It wasn't even fair when there were people were like, oh, we beat Monday Night Raw. It's like, not on the same night.
Yeah, I agree with that. So, now, it was different when it was them against NXT because they were the same nights, you know.
Like, oh, we beat Monday Night Raw. Yeah. Because even Chris Jericho came out, we're going to beat Monday Night Raw's ratings. And like, well, sorry, Mr. Walls of Jericho. The streak is over.
Yeah, well, I think, I don't get me wrong. I like the friendly rivalry that's happening right now. I got to tell you, it's been said before. It was said a lot in the Attitude era, and it's true. The era of competition, it really benefits us as fans because everybody brings it, and it just makes for a better product, right? And so I think that's why, for example, Monday Night Raw that was just yesterday, I'm in the middle of watching it because I was watching the Cowboys game yesterday, but the way it started, right? They started off right off the bat with a championship match. In my opinion, so don't hang me out to dry. But in my opinion, I think that is a response to what AEW does, okay? Because last week, the talk of the town, the talk of the wrestling world was the match between Kenny Omega and Bryan Danielson.
Oh, the one they did went to a time limit because that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
We'll talk about that another time because I disagree with you on that. But that was like the buzz. They started off AEW Dynamite with that match. That is a main event caliber match that should have, well, I'm not saying it should have been saved to the end, but it could have been saved to the very end, and everybody would have been happy with that. But the fact that they started it off was just insane. And that's not the first time AEW's done that. They've started off Dynamite with awesome, awesome matches. So for WWE to do that on Raw, I don't know, man, it just seems a little like they were just responding to what AEW does. Not to mention, though, I also think another reason why they did it, and probably the more, I guess, plausible reason why, because we know Vince McMahon is a very, very, very brilliant businessman. Vince McMahon knew already that a lot of people were going to be watching the football game. It's a rivalry game. Everybody watches the Dallas Cowboys, whether they love them or hate them. You know, they want to see them lose or they want to see them win. So the ratings were going to be pretty high on that game for sure. So to me, I think that's a smart move on Vince's part to start off with that match. And then to grab you in, pull you in, and keep you there because it didn't end there. It had to end with a steel cage match at the end of the night. So, definitely smart. But let's talk draft. So what are some of your, I mean, predictions, I guess if we can even say predictions, like what do you see happening?
I think some NXT people are going to be going to the main roster.
Which ones do you think? Do you think the ones that have been there the longest maybe?
Probably like Hit Row.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm not a fan of them, but.
Right.
But apparently, I mean, they're good. So give the WWE Universe something. I think they probably go to Raw, which would make sense.
Right.
So I think we'll have some NXT people. But the guy I'm high on who's going to, I think, is going to be, like they say, once in a generation superstar is Braun. Was Breaker?
Oh, you're talking about Steiner's kid?
Yeah. Yeah. Steiner's kid? That dude.
I saw the first match that he had with the
LA Knight.
LA Knight. He looks.
Braun Breakers. Was it?
He looks like his freaking dad when he wrestles, bro.
I know, it was funny because I was like, why does this guy look like a Steiner?
And you found out that he was, right? Yeah, it was crazy. He looked. And then, did you catch the announcer? Yeah. When he said the dog, he's fighting dog face gremlin style or something like that. Yeah. I was like, wait a minute, who is this guy?
Well, the thing that got me whenever I first saw him when 2.0 came out, I was like, why is he wearing the Steiner's colors? Is it, you know, like.
Wow, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, the
fluorescent, right?
Yeah, that was them. And I was like, maybe they're banking on him to be the NXT 2.0 because that's all the colors.
Exactly. Well, see, I didn't even think Steiner. I just thought he was going with the colors of the show because I knew they changed up the colors. Yeah. That's a good observation. You're right. They did have those fluorescent colors at the very beginning.
Yeah.
He's a beast, man. He was all. You can tell he was trained by his dad and by his uncle for sure.
Even
because
we know Scott Steiner hates the WWE.
Yeah. Yeah. But he was all Steiner, man. Can I just say, in my opinion, I think it's BS that they don't let him call himself by his name.
Well, I mean, it's like probably like a two-edged sword because, I mean, yeah, you could do that. And he goes, and I mean, given on LeBron name, I mean, maybe it's a shot at Braun Strowman. I have no idea.
Right.
But for him to do that, and then if he goes onto the main roster, like, this is not my name. My name is, and it's, I'm a Steiner or whatever. And then that, I mean, because you could do that.
Definitely, definitely. And, you know, maybe you made a good point about Scott Steiner not liking the WWE. And history shows that they don't have a good relationship.
Right.
That could be another reason why.
Yeah, and then, not that Scott was there, like, litigation, be like, they're using our name and blah, 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 or this or that. Or maybe Braun just wants to make a name on this WWE name.
Yeah, I mean it's
you know because true. I mean you could go back into when The Rock came out and everything, all the pressure, third generation or second generation superstar, or maybe, and how the fans turned on them quick.
Very true, very true.
But for these new fans that are watching WWE, and are you like Jeremy says, you're a casual fan, like. They're not going to know the story about the Steiner brothers.
Right.
And then be
right.
Like, man, who is this dude?
Right, right,
you
right.
You know, and then they'll gravitate to him.
Right, right, right.
And then later on be like, oh, and then look into that maybe. But like, oh. But.
Right. You know, you bring up a really good question for me. And I'm just going to kind of break away from what we're talking about just for me, because I'd love to get your opinion on this. You and I grew up, you know, watching wrestling. So we know our history pretty well, you know, when it comes to the wrestlers and stuff like that. Do you think in your mind that the wrestling fan now that doesn't know their history, right? Do you think it does them a disservice at any point?
I mean, I guess, I mean, it can, yes and no. I mean, it just depends because if, let's take Bray Wyatt, for example.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, his dad, you know, IRS or with Ted DiBiase tag wrestler or whatever, but I mean, he was a mid-card guy.
Right.
I mean, that's what he was.
Right, right.
You know, and if you were thinking, like, he can be champion, you know, not going to happen. WWE champion, maybe, like, tag champion, maybe.
Right.
But that was the ceiling. And then with Braid, if you just went like, well, oh, that's so-and-so, you're not, maybe you might be invested in him, be like, well, his dad wasn't, you know, a mega star, you know. Why is he going to be one?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
You know?
So with these fans that are coming in and don't know the history, they don't have that to judge the current
star. Or just like with, you know, Curt Hennig. I mean, star, but, you know, his son, I mean, hell of a wrestler.
Yeah.
Good worker.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he worked with The Rock and Brock before they came back. Like,
right.
He's the guy to rely on. But for whatever reason, having the Mr. Perfect legacy to try to be like, it's impossible.
Yeah.
And I think that's why he never became a big enough star.
So he probably should have went in with something else and not known that he was.
Yeah, or even when they tried to do Kurt Axel, I mean, you're paying homage to your grandma. I mean, that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so sometimes for these second and third rate, maybe coming in with another name, and for the casual fan that doesn't know your family history, might be a benefit.
Yeah, but then you got the anomalies like Randy Orton.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he's, what, third generation as well, but yet he... Boom. You know what I mean?
Right.
The same could be said about Cody Rhodes because Dustin's his brother, but Dustin never got, I mean, he Gold Dust. Yeah. But
even in your AEW, he's not.
Exactly. Exactly. Cody Rhodes is, you know, so it's weird. I don't know. It's like, I think some of it does have to do with the personality of the talent.
And
you know,
I think maybe it's not even on the fan. It's the expectation of the company.
Right, like, right, right.
You're the son of Dusty Rhodes.
Right, right.
You should be a star. You should know how to do this.
Right, right.
You know, or with Ted DiBiase. I mean, his son.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Had a great physique.
Yeah.
You know? Couldn't talk on the mic.
No.
You know? No. Terrible as a singles.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just, it's hard to be in the footsteps of that. I mean, like, not
big shoes to fill.
Yeah. Just like with, you know, not to get upset, but Michael Jordan had a son.
Mm.
Didn't even play in the NBA, I don't think.
Yeah.
And that's the GOAT.
Yeah. I thought LeBron James was his son.
LeBron's trash. But we ain't talking about that. Anyway, but that's what I'm just saying. So.
Yeah, no, you make a good point, for sure, for sure. Well, that's cool. So let's talk champions right now, right? We're talking about the draft. Does it touch the champions?
I mean, it may touch the Intercontinental champion or the U.S. champion, or if they do the women's, they just do what they do. They just switch titles.
You think they would? So as far as Universal and WWE champ, it's not going to affect them.
It shouldn't, but if they switch them, you've seen it. They drafted the Universal champion, so then the other show drafts the WWE champion.
Right. And the belts just switch places, basically. So, you got a good point there. So, are there any that you're hoping go to a certain brand?
I want Shinsuke back on Raw.
Yeah.
I want him back on
Raw. For what? Why?
Just because he always wears red.
Well, that's simple enough, right? Yeah. But if he goes, that brings up a really good point, because right now he's on fire, but it's because of Boogs. Do you think they split him up?
No, I think they come together. You can't split them up. He's still in enough matches.
Right.
But they'll probably break up Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode.
I can see that happening for sure. But like Rick Boogs and Shinsuke right now, gold.
Yeah.
Straight up gold. So yeah, that's one team I don't want to see split up.
I just don't know, since SmackDown's the A show, how many wrestlers are going to let go. Because Happy Corbin, I mean, that would be cool on Raw, but they'll probably gonna leave that on SmackDown.
And he's not really hitting right now.
Well, it just started, you know.
Yeah, true. I mean, Corbin's great. I think he's a great heel. He's definitely meant to be a heel, for sure. I'm still not sold on the Happy gimmick, though. I get what they're doing, but I'm still not sold on it. But speaking of Corbin, what are your thoughts on Kevin Owens? There's talk that his contract's coming up and he may be out. Do you think that's going to happen, or do you think he's going to stay?
But we can talk about that, too, because I am not happy about that.
About Kevin Owens?
No, about the Owen Hart thing.
Oh, I was actually going to wait till the last segment to bring
that up. We'll
talk
about that in the last segment.
Okay, that's cool.
And we'll talk about Kevin Owens' contract.
So you want to save that for the, because they kind of go together?
Yes.
Ah, okay. So that's something I don't know. You got me excited for the third segment already, man.
But no, I think the draft is going to be good. I mean, they're just going to reverse it from previous year where Raw would get 3 draft picks and then SmackDown would get 2. But since it's the A show, it's going to be reverse. So, I mean, I think
Well, they're trying to keep Fox happy. So.
Well, yeah. Well, you have a $1 billion contract. For sure. So, I mean, Fox is going to – SmackDown's going to get the better end.
Yeah. So is there anybody you're, besides Shinsuke, that you're hoping maybe stays on a show?
No, I think Raw needs pretty much needs a little overhaul.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess Keith Lee, since he's Bearcat, and a lot of people are saying, like, why they call him Bearcat, and it's because to honor the first African champion.
I saw that.
I think if he stays on Raw, it'll be good if he turns into that heel persona. I mean, I don't know if you watch Raw Talk, but he was being short answer and saying that, so it looks like that, and I think...
Like he's going down the road of the heel.
Right, and I think in building with Karrion Kross on Raw, he needs to stay on Raw.
Yeah.
Because if Big E's your champion, I mean, you need to have a couple of heels. I don't think they're going to make Drew McIntyre go to heel, but they could. But they already did that when he was the Scottish Psychopath.
True. He's actually, well, granted, he hasn't been as active as much, but when he's...
Well, he could have, because as long as Bobby Lashley was the champion,
right,
he couldn't be in the championship.
Right. So, but what I'm saying is that as a face lately, though, he's been doing really well. Like, the crowd really responds to him, for sure. So I think he should keep that face persona for a while.
I'd like to see Shayna go to Raw if Charlotte stays on Raw.
Isn't Shayna in Raw?
Oh, I'm tripping. I'm sorry. See? I'm tripping.
Who are you talking about?
No, I would like to see Eva Marie to stay on SmackDown. No, she's on Raw, too. I'm tripping. See? I'm sorry. I'm gone, dude. I'm gone right now. No, I want Eva Marie to go to SmackDown.
Gotcha.
Y'all can have her.
Gotcha.
Over there.
Gotcha. Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
I'm tripping.
It's all good, man. It's all good.
But I did like the Hurt Business bag. I mean, that's going to be money again.
Yeah. Without MVP, though?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think it actually works better without MVP.
Yeah?
Yeah.
MVP is a great mouthpiece.
I know, but I just think it's just going to be better because, Bobby can talk now, like we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. And so excited about that.
Speaking of the talking, let me ask you this question, then we'll go to break. As you know, we got the Tribal Chief, and he's got Paul Heyman in his corner right now, right? Brock Lesnar's back, right? Paul Heyman for years has been the advocate for the Beast. Do you think Brock's going to go back to like back in the day and be on the mic again? Because a lot of people don't know. We know because we saw it, but a lot of people don't know Brock can talk.
Yeah.
Brock is entertaining. He's been funny before, you know, and I get he's trying to carry this whole persona of like hating everybody and all that stuff. But what do you think? Do you think he's going to be that guy that's back on the mic, or do you think somehow or another he's going to end up stealing Paul Heyman away from Roman Reigns?
No, I think he'll be on the mic a little bit. I mean, but it won't be like funny. It'll just be serious.
He'll stay the serious character, basically. Well, I mean, he was on the mic that one time, and it was gold. It was definitely gold. It definitely pushed forward that storyline, and I thought it was really, really well done. What do you think of his look?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I'm not a fan of man buns, but I'm not going to tell him you can't wear no man bun. Hey, Brock wants to wear a man bun? Go for it, bro.
Okay, cool. Well, the draft is definitely going to be something to watch. So the draft will be Friday. It starts Friday on SmackDown.
Right.
And then it'll continue Monday on Raw. And that'll be next week.
Right. Maybe R-Truth goes back to SmackDown.
R-Truth is something else. R-Truth is a gem. And, you know, he's playing the perfect role. He really is. And he's hilarious. He's funny. I think where he's at right now, I think he's happy. You know, he's one of those guys that he doesn't need to have the push because he's definitely doing his job. And where he's at. So, but yeah, that would be interesting for sure, for sure. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be definitely interesting to watch, and I can't wait to see what happens. And then we'll talk about the results once it happens. But
I don't think they should split up Humberto and.
That's a good tag team right now.
Yeah, for now. I mean, they're just getting it going.
I love they went heel.
Yeah, and I think the Viking Raiders probably go SmackDown.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that they went heel, Humberto Carrillo and Garza. Mm-hmm. I think that was a good way to go. I'm excited to see what they're going to do with them. Ricochet. I think his time's done, man. I really do.
He can go to NXT 2.0.
Yeah, I mean, because the fact that they had him wrestling this week for the 24/7 championship, like, wow. And the match didn't even last that long because of the interference.
Yeah.
So, anyway, let's take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk about something going on in AEW that no one saw coming. And it has to do with Owen Hart. And we'll get Fanboy Dave's take on all that because he is obviously not happy about that at all. So we'll be right back after this word from our sponsor. So keep it here. Going on 10 years in the community, Metroflex Gym has been the place for back to basics, no fluff training. At Metroflex, you'll have the resources available to you to reach your fitness goals, whatever they may be. Owners Daniel Haggerty and David Wheat are available and ready to help guide you in the proper direction to get the best results for your health. Want to lose weight, increase stamina, or gain mass? Daniel Haggerty is a licensed trainer with over 25 years experience in nutrition and training and how to get the most out of your workouts. Come by today for a visit at 2101 Clovis Barker Road, San Marcos, Texas, or call to make an appointment for a tour at 512-878-8575. Homegrown in the community and veteran owned, Metroflex Gym is the hardcore training place for a hardcore workout. Call today. Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Rob T from the Brothers of Discussion Pro Wrestling Podcast. I wanted to invite you to come check out my other podcast. It's called the What's On My Mind Podcast. I do this with my partner, Big Will, and we're everywhere right now. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you download your favorite podcast. We talk all types of interesting topics, and we talk to all kinds of interesting people. You don't want to miss it. Go there right now and check out the episodes we already have available. We've been gone for a while, but this week we are back, and our new episode drops this Saturday. So make sure you check it out. That's the What's On My Mind Podcast. Hope to see you there. Segment. It's been a great discussion talking about the pay-per-view that happened this past Sunday, WWE Extreme Rules, And then the second segment, we talked about the draft that's coming up. And now we're going to talk about something that was in the wrestling news last week. Man, it made headlines, man. Honestly, it made some serious headlines. I got to tell you, love them or hate them, AEW is making some serious strides in what they're doing, bringing more eyes to the product, no doubt. But they, in my opinion, have done the impossible. Okay, everyone knows, everyone that's a wrestling fan knows that years ago a very unfortunate accident occurred and we lost one of the greats, and that was Owen Hart. And it's no secret, there's been a dark side of the ring done on it and everything, but it's no secret that Owen Hart's widow, that family, hates. I mean, yeah, you can say they hate WWE, but let's be real, they hate Vince McMahon. They blame him for the death of Owen Hart. There's arguments on both sides. It could be said that the hate is kind of like not fair. There's some that totally agree with it. Wherever you stand, the bottom line is that there was no way that, what was her name? Helen? Hart, something like that. Oh, Martha.
Is it Martha? I don't know.
Well, Mrs. Hart. Let's just say that. There's no, everybody knows that there was no way she was going to allow Owen to be in the Hall of Fame. She wanted nothing to do with WWE, and that's just the bottom line. And let's be honest, you can't blame her. Mark Henry's Hall of Fame speech, he did make a plea to her to please let Owen be admired by his fans.
Enshrined,
exactly. Didn't seem like it had any effect until now. Because it was announced last week that AEW had partnered with the Owen Hart Foundation, which is run by Mrs. Hart. And that I don't know all the details, but I do know that they're going to be making action figures of Owen Hart. I do know they're going to be doing a yearly or an annual Owen Hart like tournament. And so Owen Hart back in wrestling, and I mean, it's safe to say Owen Hart is All Elite. So, what do you think?
Don't like it at all, because not to say that, you know, yeah, Owen Hart was great, but not to say that his ex-wife is just trying to get money on his name and everything, but they're not gonna be able to have any footage or use any footage that's all owned by the WWE. So I don't get this whole all being an All Elite Wrestling. And I heard what Jericho said, like, how is Owen, you know, because he was part of All Elite, and he said because of him and he watched him, and mm-hmm. I got into wrestling because of Owen Hart. I mean,
right.
Well, that's you. Would Owen Hart, if he was still alive today, be in AEW? Maybe. I mean, I don't know. But I can tell you one thing. I mean, if this deal is done, Bret Hart's next. He's going to be in All Elite. I mean,
well, I don't know if you know this or not, but when they introduced the AEW title, Bret Hart's the one that brought it in.
That's probably how this whole ball got rolling. But I'm saying, with this tournament coming up or whatever, there's just give like Bret Hart will be signing with AEW. I'm calling it right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just because, I mean, I just think everybody knows how Bret is and how he holds grudges. And,
yeah, for sure.
And everything.
Just that Shawn Michaels.
Right. But I am saying that if he wasn't on board with this, I'm sure he would have fought tooth and nail with Owen's ex-wife.
Right.
Like, this is, you shouldn't be doing this.
Right.
WWE, blah, 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 this
right,
and that.
Right.
So that's why I think Bret Hart's going to be your next ex-WWE guy going to AEW.
Right.
If they have this tournament or whatever. And going into that, a lot of people speculate that Kevin Owens will sign with AEW and win the tournament because Owen Hart was his favorite, and then go by Kevin Steen and win the Owen Hart.
So that's why there's that connection, because his favorite wrestler was Owen Hart. So you think that's why he might be coming over?
Yeah, and I mean, that's why his name is Kevin Owens, because Kevin Owens were Owen.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I get you. Okay. Well, and to be honest, it would make sense, not just because of that, but coming up in the indies, a lot of the guys that Kevin was around, they are in AEW now. You know, he was around Adam Cole. He was around, you know, the Young Bucks and some of them in the independent circle. So I guess it does kind of make sense. Here's my take on it, though. I get it. Everything you're saying, you're right. They're not going to have any they're not going to be able to use any footage or anything like that because it's all owned by WWE. You're right about that. But the way I see it is it's a chance for wrestling fans, for Owen Hart's fans to finally get to pay tribute to him, to kind of be satisfied a little bit that his name is now... I mean, it was always going to be synonymous with what he did, right? That's his legacy. Yeah. We know that.
But it's just going to be like with TNA and their Hall of Fame. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, that's your opinion.
No, that means Sting was in the TNA Hall of Fame. We talk about that.
Right.
But that's what I'm just saying. It's not going to mean anything because AEW was not around.
Right.
And for your purists, yeah, you're like, okay, I get what they're doing. But your purist wrestling fans, like, some would say, like, they're just trying to make money.
True,
because they don't off they don't of know Owen's about legacy,
right?
Which, and some people could say that's wrong because I mean, if anything, it should be in the WWE where you could make the money for the Owen Hart Foundation. But I'm sure she wouldn't take the money anyways because she's been so long of not saying no. He's never going to be in the WWE Hall of Fame, and I think it's going to take, you know, one of his kids. But I'm sure the kids are probably going to be like, that was one of his wishes, even if she does. Past, whether it's 10, 20, 30 years from now, like
right.
My mother's wishes was Owen never being in the WWE Hall of Fame,
right?
It never happening,
right?
So
I just think this is the, what's the word I'm looking for? This is the compromise,
I guess.
You know what I mean?
Because I think for most WWE fans, or me personally, I can't speak for most, but I would think most WWE fans, when they saw that picture that Owen's all, it was a spit in the face of WWE and a big screw you,
right?
And I'm just like,
I will agree with that one. I do think that when they did that, that was a big F you to WWE. I do. And I mean, this is a stretch for me to say because I can't even begin to speak on what his wife has gone through all these years, losing, you know, him and stuff. But I got to be honest. I kind of think this is her way of saying, yeah, take that. Because she's so bitter and so angry at them. So,
but you got to understand, too, he just didn't do that. Vince McMahon got on that thing first because Vince McMahon's not going to make a wrestler do something without him testing it first.
Oh, I know.
And he tested it.
Yes.
So he did it himself. So Vince could have died like that. It was just a freak accident.
I agree
with
you.
That wasn't, that just happened. Yeah.
I'll be honest. I'm one of the ones that think, and this is touchy because she lost her husband.
She lost the love of her life.
Yeah, but I do believe she's a little in the wrong and to blame WWE the way that she did. Now, I will say this, though. I do agree with the fact that they should have ended the pay-per-view. Because it's one thing if a wrestler dies. For example, Eddie Guerrero passed away in his hotel the morning of the pay-per-view. That's a little different, right? You can still go on with the show, even though, like, I get that. But to happen at the event, I mean, two things. Number one, it happened at the event. Come on, just end it. You know, really, you just saw all these people just saw somebody die in front of them. Just end it. The other thing is if you think about it, technically that's, I don't know if you would call it a crime scene, but that's an investigation scene and it shouldn't have been tampered with.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because someone just died right there. So I do think WWE was in the wrong on that part of it, but I don't think it's their fault per se. It was an accident. People made stupid mistakes. Maybe whoever was in charge went the cheaper route for the riggers. I don't know. But like you said, it was an accident. It was unfortunate, yes. But like, you, again, going back to what you said, and it's proven, Vince McMahon tries out all the stunts first before he has any talent try it. He's always been that way. He did it with Shawn Michaels, as you know. You know, so, but that's neither here nor there. I mean, she feels what she feels. And she's entitled to feel what she feels. She's the one that suffered the loss.
Oh, for sure.
You know, but at the end of the day, it's from what I understand, it's pretty much a done deal. So the fans, in a sense, get to see Owen Hart's name in wrestling again, which, yeah, okay, that's kind of cool. But I agree with you. I honestly think he belongs in WWE because that was where his career ended. And that's where he made the memories. That's why we remember him. I mean, that's one of my favorite memories, you and I going to the show and being able to yell Nugget at him, you know, things like that. That was in WWE. So I do agree with you on the fact that he should be in WWE where he was at, where he really made his
where
name.
He belongs.
Exactly. I agree with that for sure. It would it just like, I mean, you take somebody like Shawn Michaels. I would not want to see Shawn Michaels in AEW. He's a WWE guy, man. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I agree with you on that one for sure. But I would be lying if I didn't say a small part of me being the wrestling fan is not a little bit happy with the fact that Owen Hart's name is in wrestling again.
Yeah. The only thing that's going to be a catch 22 with this is if they do this, because I mean, that's what the WWE, I mean, because AEW just stole the idea from WWE with the Andre the Giant Battle Memorial, and that was supposed to elevate the next star. But I mean, the Battle Royal now, it's just,
it's a joke.
It's just, yeah, I mean main event Jey Uso won it. I mean yeah, I guess like that, but I mean, you know, previous people, and it's just, that's all I'm saying. And I hate to see that with Owen Hart's name on it.
I got you.
That yeah, maybe this, if Kevin Owens, but if he does go over there, you're not making him a star. He was already a star already.
Well, the same can be said about all the other guys that have gone there too. Adam Cole was a star already.
But that's what I'm saying. But if this tournament is to find the next breakout star.
I get what you're saying.
Like, okay, right, if it's going to breakout star, then Kevin Owens, if he does leave WWE.
He shouldn't win it.
Exactly.
Right.
Because then you're just like, well, I thought this is to commemorate Owen and making the next star. And then.
That's a very good point.
Then you're just making it for, in my belief, just to be a cash cow for AEW.
And try to screw it to WWE.
Right. And it's not about making a star because Owen Hart was a trailblazer.
Yeah, for sure. So, for sure. And he was a blue blazer.
He was a blue blazer too. Yes, that's right. But it's just one of those things. So, I mean, I think it's going to backfire on AEW eventually. Mm. And I mean, I hate to say it, but I mean, it may phase out 3 years tops.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I hate to see that because
it's Owen Hart's name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but whatever, Tony Khan and Mrs. Hart, they think they know what they're doing, so.
Very, very, very fair points. I will give you that. Very fair points. So yeah, only time will tell what'll happen. Man, it's been a great show. Great topics of discussion. But before we call it a night, I do want to give kind of a shout out. I've talked about him a lot on the show, but my favorite podcast, well, it's not even a podcast, it's a radio show, but they do a podcast, which sums up, they take little parts of the show, because the actual show itself is 3 hours long on Sirius XM, but then what they'll do is they'll take a portion of it and turn it into a podcast that everybody can listen to.
It's called editing.
Exactly. Editing for the podcast. So the podcast is usually about an hour, but Busted Open, man. Busted Open Radio. Great show. If you haven't heard it, if you haven't checked it out, if you subscribe to Sirius XM, you go to Fight Nation as the channel. Busted Open is on there every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time, and it's just a great show. They talk about wrestling, not just WWE, not just AEW. They talk about everything, and they have on guests all the time. They have talents from all of them. They think it was today. I think today they had it was yesterday. I'm sorry. Yesterday they had on Mandy Rose from WWE. She was a guest. Today they had Chelsea Green, who was formerly in NXT. So they have all kinds of guests on. They've had NWA owner and Smashing Pumpkins lead singer Billy Corgan on several times. So they talk to all the stars and. They're very honest on their take of all the shows. They do recaps on all the shows and everything that's happened. It's hosted by Dave LaGreca. And the reason I'm talking about him is because they kind of gave us a shout-out this week on a tweet on Twitter. And Dave LaGreca retweeted the tweet that I sent to him. And I was talking about a dream I had. It was a crazy dream where I was a guest.
Crazy dream. Yeah, crazy dream.
Crazy dream.
You're a guest on that show.
That was the dream. But I just happened to mention it because I thought it was funny. And I didn't think anything was going to come of it. Honestly, I didn't. And so at the end of it, I said, so, hey, Dave, if you ever need a guest host, I can hold my own. This is my podcast. And I put an arrow and I put the picture of our logo. And then to my surprise, he retweets it and puts support our nation member. And I was just like, holy crap. And the Busted Open Nation is huge. they're all over the place. So I'm really hoping that that'll bring some more listeners on. But that's the whole reason why
I'm sure they'll like me better than you.
Yeah, we'll see. But that's why I wanted to give a shout out to them, because I really do appreciate them doing that. So it's hosted by Dave LaGreca, but he's also teamed up with Bubba Ray Dudley, but he goes by Bully Ray now. And Bully Ray, I got to tell you, is the most honest dude when it comes to the business. And
curses a lot.
Yeah, well, it is satellite radio, so he can do that.
Oh, he's from New York too.
Yeah, and he is a badass. So on Fridays, Mark Henry comes out. On Wednesdays, they used to have Tommy Dreamer, but he kind of shot himself in the foot here recently. That's a whole other topic we'll talk about some other time.
And Ric Flair too, man.
I'm sure you have your opinions on that. I have mine as well. We're going to have to hit that as a topic here one day. But so Tommy Dreamer technically is still part of the team. He's just not on the air right
He's
now.
He's on sabbatical.
He's on sabbatical. That is correct. But I highly recommend listening to it. It's on Fight Nation on SiriusXM. Or if you just want to listen to the podcast, just Bust It Open is the name of the podcast. You can find it on Apple Podcasts. Wherever you listen to your podcast, they have it on there. So definitely listen to them. And big shout out to Dave LaGreca and Bully Ray. Man, I love you guys. I listen pretty much every day, and you guys are awesome. I got to tell you this one, bro, because it was hilarious. This one happened yesterday. So they're talking about the status of WWE, and they brought up the whole point about predetermined outcomes and whatnot. And the point that they were trying to make was that you know, getting upset over something that's technically not real and things of that nature, right? So Dave LaGreca brings up Star Wars, and Bully Ray is a huge Star Wars fan, okay? And so he starts talking about, and you know this because you saw it when we were kids, and I'm sure you've seen it more than once, but where in Star Wars where Greedo shoots Han Solo and the whole thing about who shot first?
Right.
Okay. So that's what he was talking about. Well, first of all, Dave LaGreca said Greedo. Not Greedo.
Yeah, I bet you got Barbara
Ray. It did. So what cracked me the heck up is Bubba Ray started yelling at him, "It's Greedo, it's Greedo." And then Dave LaGreca just went off and was like, "He's not a real person, Bully. He's not a..." Yes, he is. He is. He lived a long, long time ago from a galaxy far, far away. God, and then he said, "You..." Sorry, but it was hilarious. You see, he lived, you know, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, you ignorant bitch. Sorry. I just had to say it. It was hilarious.
It's supposed to be PG.
It cracked me up. You guys got to check it out. I'm telling you, that's... You listen to our podcast and then go listen to them. So, but anyway, thank you guys so much for tuning in. This was a really good show. Very informative. Just wait a couple more weeks. We'll release another episode. And we'll just keep bringing the content to you. Remember, if you have any ideas, show ideas, questions, comments, you want to tell Fanboy Dave how much you love him because he thinks he's the best, you can always contact us.
Just like WWE, the best.
Just contact us via email at brosofdiscussion@gmail.com. That's brosofdiscussion@gmail.com. You can also find us on the social medias on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just look for Brothers of Discussion. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, I am Rob T.
I'm Fanboy Dave.
And you've been listening to the Brothers of
Discussion.